Are you looking for answers to life's biggest questions like, who are we? What does it mean to be a human person? What does it mean to be a Catholic in America today? How can I be a prophetic voice in our culture? The Center for Faith and Culture at the University of St. Thomas in Houston now offers its MA in Faith and Culture online. This program transforms students by immersing you in the historical, cultural, and theological patrimony of the Catholic tradition, so that you'll go out into the dominant American culture and leaven it with the good news. Students can audit courses, get an 18-hour certificate, or go for the entire MA program. For more information, Google Center for Faith and Culture, the University of St. Thomas. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Dr. Stuart Squires. I'm the Associate Director of the Center for Faith and Culture and Associate Professor of Theology at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. The Center for Faith and Culture, celebrating 25 years, brings the Catholic voice to the ongoing conversation about the meaning of life and the liberty and pursuit of happiness we hold in common as Americans. Today's guest is Alberto Tomei. He is, since 2003, has been an adult faith formation leader at Our Lady of Cedars Maronite Catholic Church here in Houston. First of all, Mr. Tomei, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'd like to talk today about the Maronite Catholic Church. I'm sure most non-Catholics don't know what that is. And unfortunately, I'd even say that most Catholics don't know what that is, despite the fact that it is the Catholic Church. So why don't we just start at the beginning? What is the Maronite Catholic Church?
The Maronite Catholic Church is one of the 23 autonomous Eastern churches in the Universal Catholic Church. Very few people know that the Catholic Church is truly universal, and that the Latin Church, or what we know as the Roman Catholic Church, is only one of a total of 24, including the Latin Church, autonomous, or in Latin, sui iuris, churches that comprise the Universal Catholic Church, as Saint Pope John Paul II described it. The Church breathes with two lungs, the Western lung and the Eastern lung. So two lungs of the Universal Catholic Church represent the West, which is the Latin Church, and the East, 23 Eastern churches. The Maronite Church is one of those churches.
So just so we're clear for our audience, it's fully in communion with Rome. It just has sort of a variety of differences, cultural differences, language differences, liturgical differences, but fully the Catholic Church. And I think this does surprise a lot of Roman Catholics. So I'd like to talk more about those similarities and differences. Oftentimes, probably the most obvious difference would be the way that the Mass is celebrated. So what are some of the similarities and some of the differences, the way the Maronite Church celebrates the Mass as opposed to the Roman celebration?
There are a lot of similarities and some differences. One thing to note about the Maronite Catholic Church, unlike the other 23 Eastern Catholic churches, the Maronite Church is the only Eastern Catholic Church that does not have an Orthodox or even a Protestant counterpart. After the Great Schism in 1054, all of the original churches in the East, in the Middle East, essentially split between allegiance to the Roman Catholic Church and the Latin Church and remaining Catholic, or following the Orthodox out of Constantinople. The Maronite Church is the only church that remained whole and remained in communion, full communion with Rome, and did not split into an Orthodox or a Catholic counterpart. It's synonymous in the Middle East. When you say Maronite, it's synonymous with saying Catholic. Mm-hmm. So The differences between the Maronite Church and the Latin Church or the Roman Catholic Church are obviously in language and traditions. The Maronite Church is also the only church that is named after its, you know, after its spiritual leader, Saint Maron. Saint Maron was a monk and a hermit who lived in the 4th century and died in the early 5th century, in the year 410. And Maron was part of the greater church of Antioch. Antioch back then was one of the major centers of Christianity, together with Alexandria, Constantinople, and Jerusalem, and of course Rome. So Maron was a monk who emulated the spirituality of Eastern monastics before him, like Saint Anthony the Great or Saint Anthony of the Desert in Egypt. And he eventually became a hermit, went into seclusion, although he did not isolate himself. He welcomed others to come and join him and adopt his spirituality and his way of praying. So the followers of Maron, the hermit, became the Maronites. They all lived in one monastery, eventually expanded the number into other monasteries. Their number grew so much that they had to go to another monastery. But they were all part of the Church of Antioch. So Saint Maron, the spiritual leader of the Maronite Church, never intended to start his own church at all. It was just a way of praying, a way of being close to God that is monastic and ascetic as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that. In that part of the world, the predominant languages were Greek in the cities and Syriac everywhere else. Syriac in the 4th and 5th century is a successor language to Aramaic, Aramaic being the language that Jesus Christ spoke 500 years earlier or 400 years earlier. So the Maronites eventually became their own church in the year 685 with St. John Maron, who was the first patriarch, and started giving that movement a structure into its own church. And the main driver in 685 for St. John Maron, the first patriarch to do that, was for survival. It was right after Islam came about. Islam came about in 636 and started spreading in the Middle East, like with a tremendous force. And so the Maronites started organizing themselves into a formal church around 685, and remained faithful to Rome, as we just mentioned. So Syriac was their language, and Syriac. They prayed in Syriac, they developed their liturgy in Syriac, and today, significant portion of the liturgy is still recited in Syriac. So that's one difference. Another difference is the nature of the prayers, the nature of the Mass and the liturgy. It's almost like a dialogue between the priest, the congregation, and God. It's a three-way dialogue, very different than Mass in the Roman Catholic Church, which doesn't have that level of participation from the congregation, at least in prayers, and certainly very different from the Orthodox, where the entire Mass is basically the priest communicating with the choir and back and forth, where the congregation sits there and almost participates in nothing. They just sit there and pray silently. Mm-hmm. So in the liturgy, in Mass, Maronite Mass, there is quite a bit of interaction. There's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of back and forth. And the dialogue includes a lot of, you know, a lot of reverence to God, seeking His mercy, asking for forgiveness of sins, asking for mercy on faithful departed, and you know, overall just praising God. So that's one of the big differences: the Syriac language that is still part of the celebration, you know, and that continuous dialogue. The liturgy and the prayers include a lot of, you know, Eastern spirituality from saints like Saint Ephrem and others that truly influenced the Maronites as they were establishing their own church, and, you know, in the late 7th century onward.
So you said that part of the celebration is in Syriac. Is it here in the United States, if someone were to go to a Mass, is it also in English? So is it sort of multi-language, multiple languages, or is it entirely in Syriac? Or how would that be for?
Yeah, the Mass, the Maronite Mass, evolved over the centuries from being totally in Syriac, much like the Roman Catholic Mass was totally in Latin, and after Vatican Council II, started becoming in the local languages. So the Maronite Church experienced the same evolution. The successor language to Syriac was Arabic. So in the Middle East, where the Maronites exist, mostly in Lebanon, Syria, and other countries, the liturgy started turning from all Syriac to a combination of Arabic and Syriac, because just the general population was never taught Syriac. Syriac, sure. Syriac became only a religious language. And then as the Maronite Church started expanding in the world, and I'm giving you the chronology, mm-hmm. as the Maronites started immigrating from the Middle East for many reasons, primarily persecution, religious persecution. They landed in Europe, they landed in North America, South America, all the way to Australia, all over the world. The Mass followed and became a combination of the local language plus Syriac. So here in Houston, here in the U.S., mm-hmm. our Mass is offered as a combination of English and Syriac. Syriac is now reserved only to the key prayers. There's a key prayer that's unique to the Maronite liturgy called Kadishat Aloho. Kadishat Aloho is reverence to God, where you're telling God that you're holy. God Almighty, you're holy. God the Immortal, you're holy. And that is recited in Syriac. Also, the consecration is recited in Syriac. You know, those are the two major parts that are still recited in Syriac.
You had mentioned that Saint Maron was a hermit monk in the 4th and early 5th centuries. I'm wondering if, because of his vocation as an ascetic, if there is a sort of ascetic flavor in the Maronite Church, even among the laity, that maybe you wouldn't get in the Roman tradition.
And the answer, the quick answer is yes. The identity of the Maronite Church is patriarchal, monastic, and ascetic. Patriarchal meaning there is one patriarch, so that goes to the structure, the administrative structure of the church, and many Eastern Catholic churches are headed by patriarchs. Monastic, because of the origin of the Maronites, they were all monks, and they lived as monks, and so all of the Maronites are attached to that monastic identity, and also ascetic being, self-denial, living a minimum essential life away from material things, and staying focused on your relationship with God. It is a unique aspect of the Maronite Church that is represented very well in the saints of the church. Most famously, Saint Charbel, who is recognized worldwide. His feast day actually was at the end of July, July 23rd, in the Maronite Church. And his feast day in the Roman Church is July 24th. So He is one of those saints that is celebrated across an Eastern Catholic Church as well as the Latin Church of the West. Saint Maron was also a monk and a hermit. His life essentially emulated the life of Saint Maron. So he lived in seclusion for the last 23 years of his life, self-sufficient, ascetic. He deprived himself essentially from, you know, all of the comforts of life back then. He died in 1898, was very close to God, and adored the Eucharist nonstop. So yes, the ascetic part, the ascetic identity is a key identity. Does it trickle down to the laity? Yes, it does, because the laity identifies very strongly in the Maronite Church with its saints. We have several saints, but Saint Charbel is the most famous worldwide. And they have Maronites have a very, very special relationship with their saints, and they take their example of asceticism and trying to live a minimum essential life.
Let's talk about some of the cultural expressions of the Maronite tradition. Let's start with art. If I were to see some Maronite art, would I mistake it for Byzantine art, or is there some unique aspects of it that clearly point to this is unique and can't be found in other Christian manifestations, artistic manifestations?
Yeah, the Maronite Church, because of its identity and its roots in monasticism and asceticism, always existed up in the mountains, always existed in persecution over the centuries by Muslim invaders and other invaders. They were also persecuted by other Christian churches that didn't quite agree with Rome on several major issues over the different councils. So because of that, the Maronite Church was never able to exist in a peaceful or quiet environment that would be conducive to the development of art and development of religious art. So Maronite art is very simple art, certainly not Byzantine.
Okay.
Certainly there are no Byzantine influences, because the Maronites and where they existed and where they moved was very detached from Constantinople and was very detached from all of the, you know, the development of Byzantine art and, you know, orthodoxy related to the Byzantine art and culture. So it's relatively simple. Yes, we do have a unique look. It's probably hard to recognize, but, you know, just like in music and art, it's really simple. It's not Byzantine, and it's not Latin,
right?
But it's very simple.
Are you looking for answers to life's biggest questions, like who are we? What does it mean to be a human person? What does it mean to be a Catholic in America today? How can I be a prophetic voice in our culture? The Center for Faith and Culture at the University of St. Thomas in Houston now offers its MA in Faith and Culture online. This program transforms students by immersing you in the historical, cultural, and theological patrimony of the Catholic tradition, so that you'll go out into the dominant American culture and leaven it with the good news. Students can audit courses, get an 18-hour certificate, or go for the entire MA program. For more information, Google Center for Faith and Culture, the University of St. Thomas. You just mentioned music, so why don't we move to music? Are there certain types of instruments, or I mean, I'm assuming you already mentioned it's not connected to Byzantine or Roman, so it's not going to be grounded in Gregorian chant or anything like that. So what distinctive qualities of Maronite music might we hear?
There is chanting, but the chanting carries on a very distinctive Syriac tune. A Syriac tune is hard to describe or define, but it is a simple melody, and it is not too elaborate. It certainly doesn't involve fancy musical equipment, like, you know, the ominous sounds of a pipe organ. Mm-hmm. It's based more on string instruments, simple string instruments, the oud. The oud is a form of a primitive guitar that gives out a very distinctive sound, and it's relatively simple.
Architecture. If I were to go to Our Lady of Cedars here in Houston, and I were to look around the church building, what sort of architectural distinctiveness would I see there that I wouldn't see in any other parish in Houston?
The architecture of Maronite churches is also relatively simple. A lot of churches are more inspired by the Latin side than the Byzantine side. So we certainly don't have elaborate domes like the Byzantines do. We certainly don't have elaborate mosaics. Our churches are essentially very simple. What will distinguish our church from other churches is the Maronite cross. The Maronite cross has essentially three, you know, it's one vertical line and then three lines in the middle, denoting mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So one vertical line and then three horizontal lines. That's a very distinctive look. But typically, we don't have a lot of statuary. We do have statues, but it's not replete with statuaries. So it's not fully a Latin type look, mm-hmm. But it's not Byzantine either. Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that the Maronite Church is now geographically throughout the world, obviously including here in the United States. What are some of the unique challenges of being a Maronite Catholic in the United States in general, or maybe Houston in particular?
Well, with the expansion of the Maronites all over the world in the mid to late 19th century and 20th century, the first immigrants came to the Americas, mostly to settle in the U.S., Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina. And from that time, you know, they started developing their own presence. At that time, there was no Maronite church in the Americas. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the Maronites assimilated and became integrated with the Roman Catholic Church. However, in the 1960s, with the advent of more and more Maronites, the Pope, I believe it was Paul VI, established the first Maronite diocese, or what we call an eparchy, mm-hmm. in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So our presence was here since 1965, official formal sure. presence of the Maronites since 1965. And then into one diocese or one eparchy, but now we have two, and we continually expand. The biggest challenge then and now remains the relative lack of knowledge of the greater Catholic world, mostly Latin, Roman Catholic world, of the Maronites, or of the value and of the traditions and of the spirituality of the Maronite Church as part of the Universal Catholic Church. So that's a big, you know, that was a big thing. In my years at the University of St. Thomas, I literally had to educate a lot of people, including Bazilian fathers, about about the Maronites and the Maronite Church. And so to a large extent, that remains a challenge, you know, being part of Catholic, the Catholic world, and being part of Catholicism, but yet not being recognized as such.
So what are some specific implications of that ignorance of the larger Catholic Church? In other words, does that ignorance lead to more serious problems like discrimination or being treated as a second-class sort of Catholic citizen, so to speak? How does that ignorance by the larger church sort of manifest itself in concrete ways?
Not so much discrimination as lack of understanding of who we are and how Maronite traditions enrich the Universal Catholic Church. So a lack of appreciation maybe is the best way of describing this challenge, a lack of appreciation, a lack of knowledge, and maybe a lack of coordination, maybe, you know, viewing the Maronites as not truly Catholic because they're not Latin.
Right. Yeah. We've mentioned several times now that is Our Lady of Cedars the only Maronite parish here in Houston, or are there more than one?
Yes, okay, there it is.
So tell us about that community here in Houston, especially Our Lady of Cedars. If I were to spend a year at Our Lady of Cedars, what would I experience? What are the ways that parish community instills the Maronite tradition in younger people or even adults? What are some of the cultural happenings? What flavors would I get in that experience that I wouldn't get elsewhere?
Well, Our Lady of the Cedars was established in 1991 after several failed attempts in the 70s and 80s of establishing a Maronite parish here for many reasons. We are one of many parishes in Texas. We have San Antonio, we have Dallas, we have Austin and El Paso, each city with its own Maronite parish. In Houston, the Maronite community right now, we have over 600 families that are formally registered. I would say more than half of them are very committed to growing the church, and it has grown exponentially since 1991. Right now we have a 5-acre campus with a beautiful church, a pastoral center, a church hall, a priest's residence, a mini sports arena. We offer Catholic education, or we call it CCE, that emphasizes, obviously, Catholic doctrine, Catholic dogma. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is our point of reference, like all other Catholics around the world. But we also teach our Maronite heritage and tradition. So being Maronite is essentially being Catholic in doctrine and dogma, but having our own traditions, cultural traditions, and liturgy, obviously. So the way we pray, the way we venerate our saints, the nature of our saints, our devotion to the Mother of God, Mary. We have a lot of celebrations here that are identical to the celebrations of the Maronite Church in Lebanon, in which we celebrate all the feasts of the saints, the Maronite saints. We have the month of Mary in the month of May, and during the month of Mary we have a big festival. We call it Village Night. Why Village Night? Because most Maronites come from villages up in the mountains, in the high mountains, mm-hmm, of Lebanon and formerly Syria. What do you find at those events? Well, first and foremost, you find religious celebrations, venerating Mary, processions with a statue of Mary around the church campus, special prayers, and also sort of a a Greek festival that we know here around this area. So it's sort of a Lebanese / Middle Eastern festival where we offer food, we offer all sorts of typical drinks. We offer, again, in addition to special prayers and the religious aspect of the festival or village night, it's a wonderful opportunity for all Catholics and all Houstonians to come and learn more about the Maronites and their traditions and the value that they add to the Universal Catholic Church.
So it sounds like that village night obviously is a celebration of the Maronite Church, but also maybe just to sort of Lebanese culture as well.
Absolutely.
Which of course then you have Muslim Lebanese. So I'm wondering about here in Houston in particular, is there a close relationship between other Lebanese Muslim communities in Houston? Do you, you know, have those types of celebrations together, or is it just unfortunately just you know, you go your way and we'll go our way?
We, thanks to the efforts of our pastor who established this church in 1991, who is still our pastor, Father Milad Yaghi, and a long list of assistant pastors, including currently Father Edward Hanna, we have established excellent relationships with all our Muslim brothers and sisters, and also Druze brothers and sisters in the Lebanese community here. So we invite them to our events, and they invite us to their events.
Mm-hmm.
So truly, it's a celebration of not only being Maronite at our events, but also of being Lebanese and being American. Mm-hmm. So we join all of those aspects together. So there is no division, and we're proud of it.
Yeah.
And we all come together and honor and respect each other's events.
Well, that's wonderful. I mentioned earlier that you're an adult faith formation leader at Our Lady of Cedars. I assume that means that your task is to form adults in the Catholic tradition in general, but the Maronite tradition in particular. So what are the ways that you go about forming adults in the specifically Maronite tradition? What are the challenges to that, especially when dealing with adults rather than children?
The biggest challenge in forming adults or nurturing and enriching the religious traditions or religious values of adults is exactly that, is that they have they are past the age of learning a lot or wanting to learn a lot. So we are very careful in giving them what we would like to give them as far as teaching the traditions in small doses, in doses that matter to them. Adults tend to have an interest in a few things, not in everything. So we try to give a good basic understanding of the history of the church, because we find that a lot of Maronite adults, especially those who have immigrated from the Middle East and from Lebanon to the U.S., probably need to be better versed in the history of their church, understanding the historical context of how it started, why it started, what is its identity, what makes us different, and what makes us similar to the Catholic Church. So small doses, focusing a lot on saints. That's been a big point of interest in our parishioners and the adult parishioners. So we teach the Maronite tradition through the lives of the saints and through how they lived, and pointing out, oh, well, they lived this way because this is a Maronite trait, or this is a Maronite tradition that they were living. So teaching them through the lives of saints has been more effective than other ways.
Who is your favorite Maronite saint?
Well, my favorite by far is Saint Charbel because of the life that he led, his utter devotion to the Eucharist. He was a hermit and was very consistent in his life. Also, what is very unique about Saint Charbel is the amount of miracles that have happened through his intercession. It is amazing to follow the news. Saint Charbel has essentially, through his intercession, you know, has helped people all over the world, and people all over the world pray to him and venerate him. And you know, he's a big success story, and he's almost a superstar saint that is still, you know, through his intercession, still a lot of medical miracles, you know, are happening. You know, overt medical miracles, not only in the Christian population, but also in other religions, other Muslims, Lebanese or otherwise, who have prayed for his intercession, and they testify that, you know, he has performed medical miracles in their lives, medical miracles, overt medical miracles, you know, curing cancer, that type of thing. So you know, collectively, these are just, you know, very powerful proof that Saint Charbel is an amazing intercessor.
Have you heard if there are any stories in the past few months of medical miracles because of Saint Charbel due to COVID? Somebody may be on their deathbed because of COVID and prayed for his intercession and this person healed? Or I'm guessing at some point those stories are going to come out. I just don't know if those have happened yet.
They haven't happened yet. We haven't heard of any such miracles yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if next year we would start hearing some of those.
So we're just talking about your role as forming adults, but of course one issue in the Catholic Church in general is struggling, that the church is struggling with, is the young people are leaving the church, especially here in the United States, for a variety of different reasons. Is this the problem in the Maronite community among its young people? And if so, what are the ways that Maronite Catholics try to counteract that problem?
Yes, it is. It's a significant problem in our church, like any other churches. Young people departing the church, unfortunately, many of them not coming back. This is a problem that we try to manage through the family unit, through the strength of the family unit, through strengthening the family unit, and helping the young people who ultimately, you know, struggle with their religious identity in the, you know, the critical years of, you know, the early teens through the 20s. So strengthening the family unit, educating mom and dad a little better on paying attention to red flags, getting more involved in the spirituality of their children and nurturing the spirituality of their children. And frankly, in creating a spiritual atmosphere at home, living the domestic church at home, understanding their own responsibilities of spiritual leadership, mom and dad, for the family. So we approach it that way. Mm-hmm. It's not foolproof. You know, we've faced cases where young people unfortunately depart and never come back. But that's typically how we approach it. Try to go to get back to the roots, get back to those formative years, you know, before the risk of departure from the church is almost irreversible.
Yeah, I think this idea of the family unit and strengthening it is so important, you know, especially here in the United States. I often think, you know, what can other traditions teach us? And I think I often look to the Mormons and how strong their family units are and how they you know, they have family home evening on Sundays. And so I think that's so important. So to hear the Maronite tradition focus on that, I think is wonderful. And the Roman tradition can definitely learn from that. Last question. We are a people of hope, specifically hope in the resurrection. So when you look to the future, what is your hope for the Maronite church here in Houston or around the world?
Well, our hope remains in enjoying the kingdom of heaven and eternal salvation with Christ. So that theological virtue is our main focus, and we're focused on that. Our hope as a Maronite church in the U.S. is to continue to grow and make ourselves available for all Catholics of Maronite heritage and descendancy, which they want to rediscover or relive, making sure that we are well equipped to continue to support first, second, and third generation Maronites who are born to new immigrants into the U.S. So our Maronite population in the U.S., depending geographically on where they are, like in Houston, we have mostly fresh immigrants from the 70s, 80s, and 90s who already have first-generation Americans born here, Maronites. In other parts of the country, we're already at second- and third-generation American Maronites. So depending on the area, our main goal, our shared goal as a Maronite church is to have a continuity plan of being able to continue to draw our parishioners back to the Maronite heritage and hold on to their beautiful traditions and beautiful spirituality as they enjoy their, you know, the universality of Catholicism.
Well, Mr. Tomei, thank you very much for joining me. I really enjoyed and appreciated this conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. My pleasure.
Are you looking for answers to life's biggest questions like, who are we? What does it mean to be a human person? What does it mean to be a Catholic in America today? How can I be a prophetic voice in our culture? The Center for Faith and Culture at the University of St. Thomas in Houston now offers its MA in Faith and Culture online. This program transforms students by immersing you in the historical, cultural, and theological patrimony of the Catholic tradition, so that you'll go out into the dominant American culture and leaven it with the good news. Students can audit courses, get an 18-hour certificate, or go for the entire MA program. For more information, Google Center for Faith and Culture, University of St. Thomas.